Welcome back, friends. To be clear, Occam is not a relativist. He does not think man is free to do whatever they want to. That there is a common morality for everyone. It's just not that it's rooted in how he has made us. It's not in our teleology. However, the disastrous consequence of this is moral relativism. But like I said, that's just kind of a summary of the last show there. Now I want to turn to the names of Jesus and Mary. We are in the month of September. We have the birthday of Our Lady, which is September the 8th. And we have the naming of Mary, which is September the 12th. And so then the question, you know, arose by any other names, which still smell as sweet. And could we have another name for our Queen Mother? And the answer is no. No, that was, Mary is tied to her essence of who she is. Jesus's name is tied to his essence. John the Baptist, his name is tied to his essence. And to the extent in our fallen world that our mothers cooperated with our Lord in naming you and me, our own names point to something of an essence, something of a fundamental truth that is within each of us. September the 8th commemorates the birth of her who was to be the mother of their Savior, because the Blessed Virgin Mary occupies a unique place in salvation history. Our Lord reserved for her the highest mission ever entrusted to any creature. And looking to the Eastern Catholics helps us understand this tradition of the name of Mary. So did you want to say something there before I go into, it's going to go a little bit back what we talked about with Mary, you know, if you
know. I think that that's, you know, I mean, obviously these names are going to matter, you know. God, you know, and I guess we could talk about cause as opposed to knowledge. You know, God did not cause Mary to be named Mary, but God always knew that Mary was going to be named Mary, and so he's able to affect his will through those names. In the same way with us, God does not cause our parents to be named this, but he knows that that is what we're going to be named, and so something about, he's able to affect something about us through these names, right?
That's right. So borrowing from the Eastern tradition, and I'll have links to this, while Joachim was alone in the mountains, the archangel Gabriel stood by him. He said, "Fear not, Joachim." So Joachim is Mary's father. "Nor be disturbed by my appearance. I am the angel of the Lord, and I have been sent by him to tell thee that thy prayers have been heard. Thy charitable deeds have gone up into his presence. God has seen thy shame." He and Anna didn't have any children. It was a cause of shame. "And was heard your approach of the reproach of the unfruitfulness which has been unjustly brought against thee. For God is the avenger of sin, not nature." So the fact that Anne and Joachim didn't have children isn't due to sin. "Therefore, when he shuts up the womb of anyone, he does so that he may in a more wonderful manner open it, so that what is born may be acknowledged to be the gift of God, not the product of lust. Was this not the case of thy nations, of the mother of thy nation, Sarah, who was barren? Rachel brought forth Joseph, and the mothers of Samson and Samuel. Accordingly, Anna, thy wife, will bring forth a daughter to thee, and thou shalt call her name Mary, according to the vow she shall be devoted to the Lord from her infancy, and she shall be filled with the Holy Spirit even from her mother's womb. Mary shall not eat or drink anything unclean, nor shall her conversation or life be among the crowds of people, but in the temple of the Lord, that it may not be possible to say or so much as to suspect any evil concerning her." Gabriel went on to say, "All this shall be a sign to thee of the things which I announce. When thou shalt come to the golden gate in Jerusalem, thou shalt meet there thy wife Anna, who lately has been anxious from the delay of thy return, and will rejoice to see thee." And then it briefly goes on, while in the garden, Gabriel appeared to Anna, saying, Anna, Anna, the Lord hath heard thy prayer. Thou shalt conceive and bring forth, and thy seed shall be spoken of in the entire world. Anna said, as the Lord my God lives, if I beget either a male or a female, I will bring it as a gift to the Lord my God, and it shall minister unto him all the days of the life. Arise, therefore, go up to Jerusalem, and she will meet her husband Joachim at the Golden Gate. And they give thanks to the Lord. After making an offering, they return home. Anna conceived Mary, the single boast of man. So that was from our Freedom in the Precious Blood discussions, right?
It is interesting, you know, that there is, in terms of Mary's origin, you know, everything in general basically falls back for us to pious legend. That this is not, that it was never intended to be part of a divine revelation in regards to what is part of our canonical scripture. And we were talking about Mary because we just celebrated her queenship, my children and I were, and they were asking me, you know, who Mary's parents were. And I said, you know, Anne and Joachim. I said, but they're not announced in scripture. And I said, part of that reason, part of the reason why this is not necessarily part of the story is because the origin of Mary, much like Jesus, when he's speaking to people, who is my mother and my brother and my father, her response would have equally been whoever does the will of the Father, right? I mean, she would have recognized that it was because they cooperated with God that gave them that ability to claim that they are mother and father, right? It's not because, like you said before, it wasn't out of their sin, right, that they were being punished, but rather so that God could work through them and display that these two people were fervent followers of the divine will, that they were open to God's will in their life, and that they were able to be worked through him. And also secondarily to that, or maybe actually primarily to that, is the belief and the knowledge that Mary is the new Eve, so that she springs forth. Her entrance into the world is not only of natural origins, but like Eve, is also the story of a supernatural intervention into the natural world that God has created. And so the story of her birth, the most profound and important elements of her birth, are only revealed after careful studying of what it meant when the angel appeared to her and said, "Hail, full of grace." This is where we begin to understand that it is her Immaculate Conception that is the primary importance of her, of the narration of her birth, than the narration of the names of her parents, right? So her parents being good stewards of God, recognizing that it's not them, but that they are just going to be used mystically by God to create something other. Right.
That's right. And so we see this same deference to humility to the will of God in the Annunciation of, again, the archangel, this time to Mary, and saying, you will name him Jesus. Right. It wouldn't be from Our Lady's authority to name, as it is in the natural order of things. But because of her unique role in the unique person we're discussing, his name is from his father, right? Given by the archangel.
Which then sort of is a little shadowing, right? What you would call like an icon or a type of Adam, right?
Yes.
Because Jesus cannot come and name himself because he is the Son.
Right? That's right.
When name has to be bestowed upon him, and that authority to bestow the name is on the pater, right? The patrimony, the one who provides the inheritance, right? And that, so that honor is given so that the completion can be filled in the Adam, you know, the Adam-esque figure in that Trinity of persons within the Holy Family.
That's right. And so, my friends, when we are naming our children, and I think if you are at this point in our lecture and you do name your children, there is a profundity of what is it that the Lord is wanting to communicate to the mother and the father's heart in respect for their child. And then that child can unpack that reality over the course of their lives. I know that certainly has been the case with me, with my own life, with my own name. And I'm sure, Sarah, that could be the same as well. I think we will stop it here, but we are going to pick up the exaltation of the Holy Cross. And that's exactly what you were talking about several episodes ago, about only God can bring beauty
out of something evil or hideousness.
And hideous. To the next time, my friends. Fides et ratio.